Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, just a couple of verses here to kind of launch us as we continue looking at the acrostic build up. But Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Excuse me. As we move on to the D in this, we look at develop life skills. And as we look at this acrostic buildup that they've given to us, I would say as we have looked at spiritual maturity, this is kind of fleshing it out, if you will, kind of the areas that we see our maturity, spiritual maturity in, how it would manifest itself, as opposed to just coming up with, you know, a block of knowledge. Can we learn a lot of things, but yet not be mature with our use of it? We can gain a lot of knowledge, but lack the wisdom to use the knowledge. And so it's not that we can, you know, ace a Bible test. Does that make us mature? I mean, I've given you a Bible quiz, and you may get another one on our next fellowship. But if you can ace those without having to look at things, does that make you mature? Does that make you spiritually mature? Say, well, I've aced this, so I must. No, it doesn't. You have some knowledge that you've gathered through the years, or you've taken time especially to learn those things. But when it comes to our spiritual maturity, that's not the key for it. That's not the representation. Well, I've gone through Bible college. I've gone through all those classes, and I have this degree and I have that degree. Therefore, I'm spiritually mature. No. Spiritual maturity, again, is something that God does in us. It's not something that we can manufacture. And as we see God take those things, yes, I mean, that's part of our spiritual maturing, is learning those things, learning the truths of God's Word. It then helps us, or God uses it to help us then live godly, live as He would have us to live, using that material that He's given to us and moving it forward for Him. And so as we look at develop life skills, you'd say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Spiritual maturity, but you're talking about life skills? You talk to high school students for that, or college students, you know, their life skills. But we have them when it comes to Christianity as well, to living the Christian life. We do have those life skills, and we notice here as Isaiah speaks, he says what? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, do we have the promise that God is always with us? That he never leaves us nor forsake us? So, can he be found? Let's kind of answer these questions. Can the Lord be found? Yes. Can we call upon him because he's near? Because is he near? Yes. So we have these things that he calls upon us to do so that we can do what God wants us to do, and that is to seek him. That he's the, again, he's our focal point. Again, coming back to that, it's not on purpose, yet it is on purpose. Looking unto Jesus, he is our focus. He is our focal point. And we must be seeking him. And putting that in that context of seeking him, a constant thing. Not, well, I sought him on January 1st, and so I'm good for the rest of the year. I sought him, we had a good time together. That time together with him and his word and the time to pray was precious. It was wonderful. Okay, I'm set for the rest of the year. January 2nd, do I need to go seek him? Nah, I'm good. I got that done yesterday. No. We need him on January 2nd. We continue to need to seek him and follow after him and see what he has for us. So this developing these life skills is developing those skills, if you will. Seeking the Lord. Realizing, putting it into practice day in and day out. I appreciate what Dr. Jim Berg said. I was listening to a podcast of his where they were talking about addictions. Has to do with some of the Frontline magazine, I think, from one or two back, but talking about addictions. And he was relating and giving an example of, in the medical field, if you have an infection, they give you an antibiotic, correct? To battle the infection. What happens if that antibiotic didn't quite take care of it? They give you a stronger one. They turn around and guess what? You get it again. They don't give up on the antibiotic. They just double down on it and give you more. And I appreciate what he said. He noted, and whether it's addictions and those that have those things or other things, I mean, the principle remains the same. As we work through things in our lives that we may have challenges with, spiritually speaking, I would say this, follow that example. Double down on our scripture reading. Double down on our praying. We're having struggles. It feels like it's brass. Our prayers are going up and hitting the roof and coming back down. Our Bible reading doesn't, it just seems kind of hollow. Keep at it. Don't say, well, I quit, it didn't work. And so I'm just going to forget this whole thing and move off and try something else. And yet too oftentimes we do that. We try it, which kind of already gets us in the mindset, do we really think it's going to work? If I'm going to try it. No. We're already kind of setting ourselves up for a fall in that regard. Well, I'll try this and see if it works. No. This living for the Lord Jesus Christ is taking time to pray, read His Word, our commands of His to us. We are to do these things consistently. So when we do have those challenges, those trying times, those hardships, again, it's a time for God to test us. Not for Him to see what we're made out of, because He knows, but for us to realize our own weaknesses, to see that we need Him more than we do right now. And so we should double down on those things and realize, yes, I'm struggling. All I need to spend more time with God then. I do need to talk with Him. I do need to, as some have said in the past, pray through till you see that answer, till you know God is fulfilling what He has told you He's going to do. And I can't tell you how that looks, because it's different for every situation that we come across. But to pray through, pray till you have peace about that situation. Till you know that God's given you the peace that passeth all understanding. And again, that happens on God's timing, not ours. And so I can't tell you it's going to take 5 hours of constant praying in order to get that peace. Nope, I don't know. God will give it in His time, when He knows it's best for us. But we must be persistent on our end. God, I know You will give me Your peace. You've promised it. I don't have it yet. God, what do I need to do? And He will show us. But we take that time to develop these things. And so we have verses that we refer to as we look at this. You know, verses that we will use to quote to other people, to use in different circumstances, which are good. And we should never take them for granted and just, oh yeah, I know those. But you know, stop and think. These are, as we look at these verses here, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I won't ask, but I'm sure many of us can pretty much quote those two verses, can't we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verses that we can, you know, say in our sleep, but stop and consider those two verses and the impact, the implication. Trust in the Lord, not just trust in the Lord, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do we reserve ourselves sometimes when it comes to God? Talking with him? Him talking to us and showing us things that he's desirous of us to do? But we start to hem and haw and say, no. How about, you know, that bargaining with God doesn't work. But he tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I mean, that one verse alone just tends to wipe us out. You mean lean not unto my own understanding? Really? I have some years under my belt. I know some things. God's given us a mind. Yes, he has. To not lean on our own understanding, but to trust him. Lean on his. It seems kind of counterintuitive to us, does it not? And yet he tells us to do so. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Because do we know where we need to go? Do we know the next steps that God has for our lives? We don't. It doesn't matter how much understanding we have. It doesn't matter, really, stop and think about it. It doesn't matter how much spiritual maturity we have up to this point. Can that help us make the next step right apart from God? No. Because God knows the next step. And we need to rely on him. That's the developing of the life skills, if you will. Relying on God. Trusting him completely. And I think we would all would say that's still a work in progress for each of us. And yes, it is, even for your pastor. Because we have that old nature, that old sinful nature that says, you know what? I know how to do things. I can do this. And we don't. God does. And so we work on these things. We again, don't just read these verses, but we seek to see them practice in our lives. God, help me here. You know, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God never asks anything that is unreasonable of us. Look at the life of Paul. Paul's the one writing this verse. Everything Paul did was reasonable service to God. What did Paul go through? Yeah, all kinds of things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and about the middle part of that chapter. He notes the things that he went through up to that point in his life. And it's a long laundry list of things that he suffered. Suffered for the cause of Christ to spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire that God was taking him to. And he's saying, that's reasonable service. Would we consider being stoned and taken left for dead reasonable service? Yes, I think it would be hard. I don't think that Paul had smooth sailing through there. He's a man just like we are. To have been beaten, the things that he suffered. And yet he tells us what things were gained to me, those accounted lost for Christ. He has his infirmity as we move from 2 Corinthians 11 to chapter 12. Then we have him with that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan, and he states, my infirmities, my weakness is where I need to be. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because it's not my strength, it's God's strength. He understood the key. I'm weak, but he's strong. And I live for him regardless of what comes because he knows what's best and right and good. And so we see these truths here that we seek to see God's will played out in our lives. Because as Paul wrote the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God. He's the one at work. As we see these things unfold in our lives, we can come back to this verse and realize God's working here. Doesn't mean that we understand it. But we do understand God is working. And we find ourselves, ultimately maturing as we are trusting, relying on God. Christ in the book of Luke, in that gospel, in chapter 9, verse 62, as he's speaking to people who aren't too enthusiastic about following him. And they're giving him some reasons why they're not. But as he closes it out, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He gave them a farming idea, something that I am unfamiliar with. I can just go by what others have said. And to me, it makes sense. For those in the olden days that didn't have GPS on their tractors to guide the tractor, if they're plowing with some animals, they would typically have a sight on the other side of the field that they would focus on. That is in their sights, that's what they're looking at, so they can plow a straight furrow. Makes sense to me. If I'm looking around, can I plow a straight furrow? Got the hands to the plow and I'm busy turning back. That automatically starts to move your arms. You're moving your arms on the plow, or are you going to have a straight furrow? It's not going to happen. And he gives us that picture again, which brings us to where should our eyes be looking? I know I'm coming back to that. Looking unto Jesus. He is our focal point. He is the one that we look to, our God. Consistently, constantly. And as we consider these things, it is within the realm of our church as we look at this. The church can help believers learn to seek God's will with their decision making and using his wisdom in life's challenges. We are here to help each other through our Christian life. I couldn't think of my Christian life being worth anything by today had I not been in the churches that I have been in from the time I trusted Christ until now. The impact, and that's, and I include both, both those that I was a part of, where I sat where you sit, and I was just a church member listening to a pastor, listening to Sunday school teachers, listening to my elders, listening to my same peer group as we ministered together, whatever the group, and see the growth that God gave to me, the maturity because of that, as well as now being on this side of the pulpit. That whole idea doesn't stop, folks. I still need spiritual maturity too. I didn't reach it and then become a pastor and say, you know what, I'm good. Now it's time for me to do my thing to help others. No. I still need spiritual maturing. And guess who helps with that? The same people that did when I was on the other side of the pulpit. The rest of the church. We all work together with this. We are all bonded together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church family, that we can help mature each other. You say, how in the world can I do that? I'm not the teacher. We can do it in our conversations, both here and abroad. We can do it just by being here. I mean, there's nothing greater than to see folks in a church service for me. I mean, it's far better to speak to a fuller church building than it is an emptier one. I mean, it thrills the pastor's heart when there are people here because it tells me you want something, which obligates me to what? To deliver, to share God's word, to give it to you so that you can grow and mature. And when you're here, that just encourages me that much more. And so it works, again, both ways. We all are working together, much like the redwood forest works together for the strength of those trees. A redwood tree could not survive by itself. The roots are shallow. You would think that those huge, mighty redwood trees that are 200 and 300 feet tall, they surely have deep, thick... No, they don't. Their roots are rather shallow. But the roots are intertwined with all the other redwood trees. And as such, that forest can withstand a lot of the winds that come off the Pacific Ocean because they're interlocked. Each is relying on the other. Any ones that are going to break are going to be the ones in the peripheral where they're only kind of half helped, if you will. But because of that interconnectedness, they can thrive because they're not standalone trees. They need each other. We need each other as believers. There's no such thing as a lone wolf Christian who can just go off on his own and grow spiritually mature and be all that he can be for the Lord. The scriptures just don't show that out. It plays it out through the church. And we saw that. We've looked at it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. He notes that interconnectedness, if you will. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, to equip us. Why are they there to equip us? For the work of the ministry. For the work that each of us has to do in the ministry that God's called us to do. And that's within the framework of our church. And he continues on with the rest of those words to see us mature. To see us in that fullness of Christ, which is a lifelong endeavor. And so we have the church that helps us in this regard. And also then, the dependence upon God and His Word to help us through those challenges that life presents. Again, coming up, bringing us back to that. Because we can have growth spurts, growth pains, growing pains. Did anybody have growing pains physically when you were growing up? I mean, you hear of them. I see a few hands. I mean, I didn't. But you hear of it, growth pains. Do we have growth pains sometimes when it comes to our spiritual walk with Christ? Yeah. We have times that it seems like we don't know what in the world God's doing, why he's doing it. We start to doubt, we start to question, because it's not making sense to us. Is that the time to stop and turn away? No. It's the time to trust him more. Again, that doubling up. God, you have a purpose and plan. I don't understand it, but I need you. And I need you. And I will come to you. And I will cry out to you. And I will talk with you. And I will depend upon you. And we get into his word. Because he will show us. He will guide us there. The psalmist in Psalm 119 notes that. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. What a beautiful picture there. Do we sometimes think we're walking in darkness when it comes to living for God, serving him, following him? Yes. The entrance of thy word giveth light. We feel that we're in darkness. Open up this book. And it may be that you just feel like, I don't know where to go. Just open it, literally. Just open it and start reading. God may get your mind start to in gear. You may move from that passage to something else, but get in here. Start reading it. It's God's word. It is the entrance of his word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We can, as James notes to us in verse 5 of chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, and the understanding is, we do lack wisdom. So, since we lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, generously, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Prayer and the word of God go hand in hand. As we seek to live for him and see him work in our lives in truly amazing ways. But it goes back to our trusting him. He's God. He knows. He will lead. He will guide. Oh, let's go to him in prayer. Let's go to his word. And he will show us. He will illuminate. And then we'll know. And we will have that confidence that he gives when that light comes on. And we won't question anymore because the light will have illuminated it. We will see, God, yes, I can go forward. Thank you, Lord. That is our maturing. Doesn't mean that it's going to get any easier. I mean, again, think of our physical maturing. Are the teenage years harder than the elementary years? Yeah, a whole new set of things can be. Hormones start going, you know, the sap starts rising. All of a sudden, those females that have cooties, all of a sudden, that one looks kind of nice. Whole new things going on. But because of what we built in our earlier years, we can be prepared for those things. We have new challenges that require us to rely on God just as much as when we were younger. And the same holds true for, you know, for the rest of our years. Our maturing still is progressing. We will face new things. As we who are older, we are facing different things than we did when we were in our 30s, are we not? You know, for those of us that are past that age, when we were in the 30s, you know, you think you're pretty much invincible. I can do anything. I'll tackle that job. I'll get it done. At 63, I know better than to say that. But you know what? Discretion is the better part of valor. I think I may ask for some help on this one. Because I know my body's not going to be able to do what it did half my lifetime ago. And so I need to change and reassess how I'm going to do things. That's part of wisdom. That's part of maturing and understanding. You know, I can't do those things anymore. And those that think they can, they usually find out that they can't. And it usually involves a trip to the doctor because we probably did something that we shouldn't have done because we couldn't physically do that. And now we've strained something or we've pulled something that, you know, again, 30 years ago would have never happened, but we're not in that 30-year-old body anymore. So we have these things that are going on and they will continue. We will encounter new challenges unique to this stage in our maturing for our Lord than what we had 30 years ago. Because of the same principle, we're not in that same stage in our maturing. We're in this stage of our life, in our walk with the Lord. And so we always have some new things coming because God's still growing and maturing us, preparing us for heaven. He's preparing us to be in His presence. Do we know what that's like? We have a little picture there in the book of Revelation, as we've seen. And that's minuscule. Heavenly seen people praising God. But we're in His presence. Our whole mindset is going to be so different. So radically different. And God's preparing us for that in this life. So there's much that God has for us. And so may we rest in Him and trust Him. I like what Peter says as he starts into his second epistle and in noting these things. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us all things that we need for life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us all that we need. Now let's take it and go with it and see what God will do as we rely on Him, as we trust Him, as we seek His face, keep Him our focus. Those skills, if you will be developed. And we will be what God wants us to be, a mature believer living for Him in the light of what He's given us in this day and age. We'll continue on and close out these last few letters in the acrostic in the next Wednesdays.